Chapter 10. How Sir Bors left to rescue his brother and rescued the damosel, and how it was told him that Lionel was dead. Then dressed he him unto the knight, the which had the gentlewoman, and then he cried, "Sir knight, let your hand off that maiden, or ye be but dead." Page 316. And then he set down the maiden, and was armed at all pieces, save he lacked his spear. Then he dressed his shield, and drew out his sword, and Bors smote him so hard that it went through his shield and habergeon on the left shoulder, and through great strength he beat him down to the earth, and at the pulling out of Bors' spear, there he swooned. Then came Bors to the maid and said, "How seemeth it you, of this night ye be delivered at this time?" "Now, sir," said she, "I pray you lend me thereas this night had me. Lead me thereas this knight had me. So shall I do gladly," and took the horse of the wounded knight, and set the gentlewoman upon him, and so brought her as she desired. "Sir knight," said she, "ye have better sped than ye weened, for, and I had lost my maidenhead, 500 men should have died for it. What knight was he that had you in the forest?" "By my faith," said she, "he is my cousin. So wot I never with what engine the fiend enchafed him, for yesterday he took me from my father privily, for I nor none of my father's men mistrusted him not, and if he had had my maidenhead he should have died for the sin, and his body shamed and dishonored for ever." Thus, as she stood talking with him, there came 12 knights seeking after her, and anon she told them all how Bors had delivered her. Then they made great joy, and besought him to come to her father, a great lord, and he should be right welcome. "Truly," said Bors, "that may not be at this time, for I have a great adventure to do in this country." So he commended them unto God, and departed. Then Sir Bors rode after Lionel, his brother, by the trace of their horses. Thus he rode, seeking a great while. Then he overtook a man clothed in a religious clothing, and rode on a strong black horse, blacker than a berry, and said, "Sir knight, of what seek you?" Page 317. "Sir," said he, "I seek my brother, that I saw within a while beaten with 2 knights." "Ah, Bors, discomfort you not, ye fall into no one hope, for I shall tell you tidings such as they be, for truly he is dead." Then showed he him a new slain body, lying in a bush, and it seemed him well that it was the body of Lionel, and then he made such a sorrow that he fell to the earth all in a swoon, and lay a great while there. And when he came to himself, he said, "Fair brother, sith the company of you and me is departed, shall I never have joy in my heart. And now he which I have taken unto my master, he be my help." And when he had said thus, he took his body lightly in his arms, and put it upon the arson of his saddle. And then he said to the man, "Canst thou tell me unto some chapel where that I might bury this body?" "Come on," said he, "here's one fast by." And so long they rode until they saw a fair tower, and afore it there seemed an old feeble chapel. And then they alit both, and put him into a tomb of marble. Chapter 11. How Sir Bors told his dream to a priest, which he had dreamed, and of the counsel that the priest gave to him. "Now leave we him here," said the good man, "and we go to our harbor till tomorrow. We will come here again to do him service." "Sir," said Bors, "be ye a priest?" "Yea, forsooth," said he. "Then I pray you tell me a dream that befell to me the last night." "Say on," said he. When he began so much to tell him of the great bird in the forest, and after he told him of his birds, one white, another black, and of the rotten tree, and of the white flowers. Page 318. "Sir, I shall tell you a part now, and the other deal tomorrow. The white fowl betokeneth a gentlewoman, fair and rich, which loved thee paramours, and hath loved thee long. And if thou warn her love, she shall go die anon, if thou have no pity on her. That signifieth the great bird, for which shall make thee to warn thee. Warn her. Now, for no fear that thou hast, ne for no dread that thou hast of God, thou shalt not warn her, but thou wouldst not do it for to be beholden, chaste, for to conquer the loose of the vain glory of the world. But that shall befall thee now, and thou warn her, that Launcelot, the good knight, thy cousin, shall die. And therefore men shall now say that thou art a manslayer, both of thy brother Sir Lionel, and of thy cousin Sir Launcelot du Lake, which thou mightest have saved and rescued easily, but thou weenest to rescue a maid which pertaineth nothing to thee. Now look there whether it had been greater harm of thy brother's death, or else to have suffered her to have lost her maidenhood. Then ask ye him, hast thou heard the tokens of thy dream, the which I have told to you? Yea, forsooth, said Sir Bors, all your exposition and declaring of my dream I have well understood and heard. Then said the man in this black clothing, then is it in thy default if Sir Launcelot, thy cousin, die? Sir, said Bors, that were me loth, for wit ye well there's nothing in the world but I had liever do than to see my lord Sir Launcelot du Lake to die in my default. Choose ye now the one or the other, said the good man. And then he led Sir Bors into an high tower, and there he found knights and ladies. Those ladies said he was welcome, and so they unarmed him. And when he was in his doublet, men brought him a mantle furred with ermine, and put it about him, and then they made him such cheer that he had forgotten all his sorrow and anguish, and only set his heart in these delights and dainties, and took no thought more for his brother, or Sir Lionel, neither of Sir Launcelot du Lake, his cousin. Page 319. And anon came out of a chamber to him the fairest lady that ever he saw, and more richer beseen than ever he saw Queen Guinevere or any other estate. Lo, said they, Sir Bors, here is the lady unto whom we owe all our service, and I trow she be the richest lady and the fairest of all the world, and the which loveth you best above all other knights, for she will have no knight but you. And when he understood that language, he was abashed. Now forth and she saluted him, and he her, and then they sat down together and spake of many things, and so much that she besought him to be her love, for she had loved him above all earthly men, and she should make him richer than ever was man of his age. When Bors understood her words, he was right evil at ease, which in no manner would not break chastity, so wist not he how to answer her. Chapter 12. How the devil in a woman's likeness would have had Sir Bors to have lain by her, and how by God's grace he escaped. Alas, said she, Bors, shall ye not do my will? Madam, said Bors, there is no lady in this world whose will I will fulfill as of this thing, for my brother lieth dead, which was slain right late. Ah, Bors, said she, I have loved you long for the great beauty I have seen in you, and the great heartiness I have heard of you, that needs ye must lie by me this night, and therefore I pray you grant it to me. Truly, he said, I shall not do it in no manner wise. Then she made him such sorrow as though she would have died. Well, Bors, she said, unto this have ye brought me, nigh to mine end. And therewith she took him by the hand and bade him behold her. And ye shall see how I shall die for your love. Page 320. Ah, said he then, that I shall never see. Then she departed and went up into an high battlement, and led with her 12 gentlewomen. And when they were above, one of the gentlewomen cried and said, Ah, Sir Bors, gentle knight, have mercy on us all, and suffer my lady to have her will. And if ye do not, we must suffer death with our lady, for to fall down off this high tower. And if ye suffer us thus to die for so little a thing, all ladies and gentlewomen will say of you, dishonor. Then looked he upward. They seemed all ladies of great estate, and richly and well beseen. Then he had of them great pity, not for that he was not uncounseled in himself, that liever he had that they all lost their souls than he his. And with that they fell down all at once unto the earth, and when he saw that, he was all abashed, and had therefore a great marvel. With that he blessed his body and his visage, and anon he heard a great noise and a great cry, as though all the fiends of hell had been about him. And therewith he saw neither tower nor lady nor gentlewoman, nor no chapel where he brought his brother to. Then he held up both his hands to the heaven and said, "Fair Father God, I am grievously escaped." And then he took his arms and his horse and rode on his way. Then he heard a clock smite on his right, and thither he came to an abbey on his right hand, closed with high walls, and there was let in. Then they supposed that he was one of the quest of the Sangreal, so they led him into a chamber and unarmed him. "Sir," said Sir Bors, "if there be any holy man in this house, I pray you let me speak with him." Then one of them led him unto the abbot, which was in a chapel, and then Sir Bors saluted him, and he him again. "Sir," said Bors, "I am a knight-errant," and told him all the adventure which he had seen. "Sir knight," said the abbot, "I wot not what ye be, for I ween never that a knight of your age might have been so strong in the grace of our Lord Jesu Christ." Page 321. "Not forth, then, ye shall go unto your rest, for I will not counsel you this day, it is too late. And tomorrow I shall counsel you as I can." Chapter 13. Of the holy communication of an abbot to Sir Bors, and how the abbot counseled him. And that night was Sir Bors richly served richly, and on the morn early he heard mass, and the abbot came to him and bade him good morrow, and Bors to him again. And then he told him he was a fellow of the quest of the Sangreal, and how he had changed of the holy man, charge of the holy man, to eat bread and water. "Then our Lord Jesu Christ showed him unto you in the likeness of a fowl that suffered great anguish for us, since he was put upon the cross and bled his heart blood for mankind. There was the token and the likeness of the Sangreal that appeared afore you, for the blood that the great fowl bled revived the chickens from death to life, and by the bare fruit tree is betokened the world, which is naked and without fruit, but if it come of our Lord. Also the lady for whom ye fought for, and King Anios, which was Lord there tofore, betokeneth Jesu Christ, which is King of the world. And that ye fought with the champion for the lady, this it betokeneth, for when ye took the battle for the lady by her, ye understand the new law of Jesu Christ and the Holy Church." Note 1 of "For when ye took" text. "And by the other lady ye shall understand the old law and the fiend, which all day warreth against Holy Church, therefore ye did your battle with fright. For ye be Jesu Christ's knights, therefore ye ought to be defenders of the Holy Church. And by the black bird might ye understand Holy Church, which saith, 'I am black, but he is fair.' And by the white bird might man understand the fiend. And I shall tell you how the swan is white without forth and black within. It is hypocrisy, which is without yellow or pale, and seemeth without forth the servants of Jesu Christ, but they be within so horrible a filth and sin, and beguile the world evil."